Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with deadline day in the NBA. Will these superstars be traded in the next few hours? Woj is here with the very latest. Plus, Joe Cool facing the heat in Super Bowl 56. What he must do to avoid being demolished by Aaron Donald and the Rams. And he's not at the Super Bowl. He's on a golf course. The big question is, where will Aaron Rodgers actually be next season? Get Up is presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I'm Hannah Storm, making my debut here at Seaport. For Greeny. And so luckily I have some people here to carry the show. Kimberly Martin's here. Nico is here as usual at Seaport. And in LA, our pal Damian Woody, it's 5 a.m. so we're going to get him some coffee. Right, Woody? Uh-oh. He's already wagging the finger. There's trouble afoot. But we are going to start with hoops and the countdown to the trade deadline, now just 7 hours away at 3 Eastern. Of course, all sorts of talk about what the Lakers might do last night facing the Blazers for the first time this season. Russ on the bench from the start of the game, missing his first game because of back tightness, and it was a tight one. LeBron with the reverse. They're up 96-95 down the stretch, just over three remaining. Yusuf Nurkic gets the pass inside and throws it down, and now the Blazers are up by one. Next Lakers possession, and they turn it over. Anthony Simons converts at the other end. Simons nailing the three, and the Blazers are up 102-98. Next possession for the Lakers. LeBron drives, throws down with authority, and the Lakers are within two. Following Blazers possession, AD blocks the shot by Nurkic. LeBron picks up the loose ball, but then, oh no, he has it stolen by Dennis Smith Jr. He gives it up to Simons. And once again, Simons from three. Blazers by five. 40 seconds left. Smith Jr. misses the floater as they try to close it out. And then Davis, full court pass to LeBron. Oh boy, Lakers within three. LeBron finished with 30. But then Justice Winslow can't hit the three. And the Lakers don't get the rebound. They're forced to foul. Portland beats the Lakers 107-105. Now about that trade deadline.
You know, it was just something that's weighing on this group that we're trying to all, you know, get through. You know, almost feels like it's, you know, like fog. You know, it's just fog in the air, and we're all trying to see what's on the other side of it. I'm literally just, I'm tired as hell right now. I just want to, like, get some wine and get into bed and wake up tomorrow and feel good about what tomorrow has in store. I just hate that where we are right now, and it hasn't kind of worked out that way two-thirds of the season.
Yeah, who can blame LeBron for wanting a glass or two or three of wine at this point as Woj joins us now. And Woj, as you well know, a Lakers team source has told Dave McMenamin that he'd like to see the team trade Russell Westbrook before the deadline. The source told Dave, we've got to rip the Band-Aid off. We have to move forward this season. So can you enlighten us the very latest this morning about this situation?
Well, Hannah, it's going to be very difficult to trade Russell Westbrook, and Rob Pelinka, their general manager in LA, knows that. And with $47 million due him next season, there's just not a marketplace to do that. And the Lakers have shown a real reluctance to attach, to incentivize a deal, meaning add draft picks to it. They have picks that are still going out in other deals. And at what point do you stop just completely mortgaging your future for deals that probably don't result in all of a sudden you having a championship contender, and now you've just dug yourself a deeper hole? And Hannah, their problems are deeper than how Westbrook has assimilated into this team, losing Alex Caruso last year, not paying the luxury tax to keep him. You know, they gassed their assets in a trade, in the Westbrook trade, And right now, the deals that the Lakers are really looking at, Hannah, you know, they're around the fringes. Players like Alex Burks in New York, Dennis Schroeder in Boston, any number of role players, fringe starters that they might be able to cobble together the assets to get. But the idea of a Westbrook trade, listen, nothing's impossible, but I think it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, just a series, really, of bad decisions coming to the fore. Now the Lakers find themselves four games under 500. All right, so let's talk about, Harden for Simmons, maybe a new topic, something that's been discussed again and again. What is something that we could see happen today, if anything?
Hannah, I do think we will see today Brooklyn, Philadelphia communicate on some level. Now, there's been no, I'm told, real negotiation that's gone on. But listen, I think Philadelphia's motive, they are very motivated to acquire James Harden. The question is, how much are the Sixers willing to offer to do that now, given that they're a team that has confidence that they can get Harden after the season in free agency? To get him in free agency, the Sixers are going to have to clear cap space. That will cost them. There are, you know, to get off some of their salaries, you know, there's a price to pay for that. So how much do you, looking forward, measure that against trying to get something done now? Brooklyn, they look at James Harden. Is a player still, once they get Kevin Durant back, that they can get on the floor together, that this is still a team that can make a run? There's risk-reward for both teams. I would expect them to communicate today. There's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, Harden to miss his fourth straight game tonight, if indeed he is still with the Nets, who have lost nine in a row. Woj will be checking back with you all morning long. Thank you. We are three days away from the Super Bowl. The Rams and the Bengals have just one combined Super Bowl win. First time since 2003 that the Super Bowl participants entered with one or zero combined titles. The Bengals have never won, as you know. And Matthew Stafford is trying to become the third quarterback to win a Super Bowl in their first season with a new team. Tom Brady did it last year, of course, and Trent Dilfer did it before that. Always good to work Trent Dilfer into the show. Joe Burrow trying to make some history of his own, seeking to become the first number one overall pick to win a Heisman, a national title, and a Super Bowl. Here's what he said yesterday on their game plan.
We'd like to start out fast, you know, when they have a really good pass rush. So when they know the team's dropping back and throwing the ball, you know, they can kind of tee off. So we want to get out to a strong start. But, you know, whatever the game calls for us, for us to win, we're going to go out and do. If we get behind early, you know, we're not going to panic. So, you know, maybe a comeback is going to be necessary. But, you know, we'd like to jump out early and kind of control the game.
All right, back with our football aficionados. So, Ninko, you first. What does Burrow have to do to get this win?
Take care of the football. So you can't turn the ball over and expect to win, but you also have to take calculated chances. You can't win a championship unless you take a little risk. He's going to have to throw the football down the field. He's going to have to throw it on Ramsey. He's going to have to go to his go-to guys. And in a Super Bowl, there's moments where we've seen it in years past. I think back to the 14th Super Bowl against Seattle. One turnover and one moment in the game could swing it the other way. So as the quarterback, the fate of the team is in your hands. You got to take care of the football. Of all the Super Bowls, 38 teams that have won the turnover battle. So it is vital that they take care of the football.
Yeah, he does a great job taking care of the football, despite being on his back, being sacked more than any other player this season.
But that's not a bad thing taking care of the ball, because we have seen it. I mean, think back to the 49ers, Jimmy G getting spun around, doesn't know where he's at, disoriented, throws it up, interception. Right. So you have to take care of the ball, and sometimes just taking the sack is the smart play. So in this matchup, you live to play another down. You might have to punt it away, but it's the field position battle. So that is going to come down to playing smart.
So better to lose yards than lose the football.
Exactly. I mean, turnovers are huge, and in the Super Bowl, we've seen it. It's massive.
That's what you're going to hear from this man all day long. Every answer is going to be turnovers. Kimberly.
So call me crazy. I know Joe Burrow just got to the NFL, right? But I think we know who he is. As we know, I'm the Ohio resident reporter.
Oh, yes, you are.
As you and I have talked many a Sunday on SportsCenter.
You put your ski jacket aside finally. Yes, you're here.
But I've seen this team win a number of ways. I've seen Joe Burrow have to win a number of ways. I've seen them be down 21-3. I've seen them jump out to leads, lose them, come back and win. I think we know who Joe Burrow is. He's a guy that can be sacked 9 times and still find a way to win. I think this game comes down to their defense still being opportunistic. They still have to attack the Rams secondary. We know Jalen Ramsey is good. We all know Jalen Ramsey is good. Test the other guys. You know, Ninko was talking about those calculated risks. Like, try to force it downfield when those opportunities arise. And I've talked to Joe Mixon, it seems like, all season long. You cannot allow them to make you one-dimensional. Like, get Joe Mixon going so that you can set up those guys deep.
Have to have that running game. Quarterback's best friend. As we know, Ninko's saying no risk it, no biscuit. What say you, Damian Woody?
Yeah, listen, you know, I'm always a big fan of a running game, but I'm going to say for Joe Burrow is staying ahead of the sticks. And what I mean by that is, you know, he had mentioned that, you know, once the Los Angeles Rams know that you're passing the ball, that's when those guys are going to pin their ears back and the rush is going to be really ferocious. So I think it's going to be really important for them to, you know, get to 2nd and 5, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. That way you get the mix of run and pass. You just don't want to be in 3rd and long going up against the Los Angeles Rams with Aaron Donald, Von Miller and company, because you're asking for a disaster right there. So stay ahead of the down and distance, and I think good things can happen for you.
But, Woody, this O-line is absolutely getting killed. I mean, everybody's saying this is going to be the difference in the game. So if you're on that Bengals O-line that has struggled, how are you preparing for this pass rush?
Well, first of all, I'm pissed off because, you know, myself and guys like Ninko and everybody else has been talking about how bad the Bengals offensive line has been. And they've been underwhelming, you know, for most of the season. So what you got to do is, you know, a guy like Aaron Donald, man, you got to go beat him up. You got to go take the fight to him. Don't let them dictate the terms, you know, of this battle right here. You got to dictate it to them. You know, and that's what you got to run the football, screens, different things to throw off their rush. And those guys got to make Aaron Donald public enemy number one and let him know from the beginning. No, but it's going to be a long, hard day for you. We're gonna have somebody else get you.
Okay, how do you do that? How do you exactly beat up Aaron Donald?
What are you saying is if I'm coaching that offensive line, I'm saying if you have a chance to punch Aaron Donald at any point, get hands on him. Mm-hmm. Get hands on him. And if it's a running play, stay on him, drive your feet. No matter where the ball's at, make sure that he has a guy on him harassing him so he has to fight off blockers. Because in this game, it's going to come down to how many plays is that defense on the field. If the Rams are on the field limited amounts, and that means that their offense is getting it done and they're 3 and outs for Cincy and the pass rush is just pinning their ears back. Mm-hmm. If Cincinnati can stay on the field, have long methodical drives, it tires the defensive front out, and then that's when you're at your best offensively, when the defense is gassed.
Got to keep converting, and we got to keep going because we have a lot more to talk about this morning. Woody, thanks for getting up early, man. You're very
good
chipper
too.
For this hour. Oh, this guy was out west too. Did you see this yesterday? Aaron Rodgers playing in the Pro-Am had some very interesting things to say when a fan asked him about Denver. We'll explain coming up. And in the Super Bowl, maybe better to receive why the battle of the two best pass catchers in the NFL just might be the difference.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Hannah in for Greeny this morning with Ninko, Kimberly, Woody. All right, so we're going to play a little game we like to call More or Less. We're looking ahead, of course, to the Super Bowl on Sunday. So, Ninko, more or less than 99.5 receiving yards for Ja'Marr Chase?
I'm going with more, and I say that because he's the go-to guy, and they're going to have a big game from Chase if they expect to win this game. I know he'll probably have Ramsey on him, but we've seen some issues in the playoff with Ramsey. Think of Tampa getting beat over the top, Tom Brady's last touchdown pass. So, you know, you think Joe Burrow and Chase have a connection? Yeah. Let's go back to LSU. And in a pinch, and when he's got to take a risk, I think he's going to throw it up to Chase.
They have a great connection. Goes back years. Kimberly, am I supposed to call you Kmart or Kimberly? What are we
Kimberly
doing here?
Kimberly, Kmart, it all works.
All right. More or less than 106.5 receiving yards for Cooper Kupp.
That sounds like a lot, right, Hannah? But I'm going to say more. You know why? Because Nico was just talking about go-to guy for the Bengals. The go-to guy for the Rams is Cooper Kupp. And in these playoffs, he's averaging 15 yards a catch since mid-January. The guy is, like, catching 129 yards a game. Like, the key is to stop him, but I don't know if the Bengals will be able to, so I'm going to say more.
Triple threat. I mean, has anybody benefited more from Matthew Stafford's arrival than one Cooper Kupp? All right, Woody, more or less than 1.5 field goals for Evan McPherson? You're talking kickers. Go.
I am. More, I'm going more. This dude has just been an absolute weapon, not only throughout the regular season, but especially in the postseason. I mean, you're talking about a rookie who's coming through with clutch kick after clutch kick. I mean, I think he's going to play a big role in this game against the Los Angeles Rams.
He has over half their points coming into the Super Bowl. He's 12 for 12.
Mm-hmm.
McFearless, the rookie, just part of that young squad with the Bengals that seems to know no fear. All right, to the veteran Aaron Rodgers, who was, wait for it, golfing yesterday at the Pro-Am at the Waste Management Open, that big party in Phoenix. He was paired with Jon Rahm, and somebody in the gallery was yelling, "Come to Denver." And then Rodgers reportedly responded with, "We'll see." So, leaving it open, it's all a beautiful mystery.
It's always a beautiful mystery with this man. So beautiful, isn't it?
So, Woody, let's start with you. Is Denver the best fit for Rodgers next season?
Not for my money. I'm still going with Green Bay. And listen, everyone's going to talk about the salary cap and, you know, all the issues they got to work with as far as the roster is concerned. But I've always said work smarter, not harder. And what I mean by that is, look at what's going on in the NFC. Tom Brady retires. Mm-hmm. Who else is in the NFC? The Rams, 49ers, you know, probably going to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo and hand it over to Trey Lance. But the road is a lot easier in the NFC, particularly in the NFC North, to navigate yourself through than going over to the, you know, all these killers in the AFC. So I know everyone wants to talk about, oh, you know, he's – you know, this is a guy that's going to probably be a four-time league MVP. He's not scared of competition. Yeah, I get all of that. Yeah, that sounds good. But you know what? If you want to find the road, the easiest road to get to the Super Bowl, it goes in the NFC. So Green Bay is that's where my money is at.
I mean, what is it about at this point in his career if it's not about winning a Super Bowl? And if it's not Denver, where would you like to see him go, Nico?
I mean, I think that he could go to the 49ers. I think that there's plenty of teams. If you take the roster of, say, the 49ers, Denver, Tampa.
Bucks.
Right?
Oh, but you think he'd actually follow Tom Brady? I mean, that's
you don't think Aaron, you think Aaron Rodgers questions his abilities? Like,
no.
He thinks he knows that he's great. So
no, but still, if you go and you don't win
Hannah's
a Super Bowl.
He wants Tom's sloppy second. That's what she said.
Put, if you put him on those rosters, they automatically become Super Bowl favorites. Automatically. Yeah. Automatically.
So, okay, if you had to pick one of those teams, though.
I think Aaron Rodgers wants to go to a bigger market.
Okay.
So I think that he
so
would
the
like.
The Giants is what you're saying. Hey. I mean, no, if you had to pick one of those teams,
I would say the 49ers.
Okay, yes. So what do you do with Trey Lance?
I mean, he'd be the guy. You know, if Trey Lance. Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking about the other guy, Love. So when you Trey Lance, obviously this year, he had the opportunity. They were yeah. platooning him. He was coming back and forth with Jimmy G.
Right. Yeah.
At some point this year, he had an injury. He might need a couple more years. He might need a year. And what not better to have him sit behind Aaron Rodgers? You have a guy that is Hall of Fame, just like Aaron Rodgers.
Like you said,
Aaron
it works
Rodgers.
For Aaron. Yeah,
yeah.
You said
Aaron Rodgers is behind Favre. Aaron Rodgers is behind Favre.
Right.
I'm telling you, look at what the Rams wanted to do. They wanted to go get a quarterback to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will they win? Time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
But the 49ers, what was the one piece I think
it's
that they felt
QB.
Was their
Same
biggest
thing.
Limitation?
Right.
Was the quarterback.
Same thing was
the
quarterback.
So if you go out and get Aaron Rodgers and you have a young quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers, he's still on a rookie contract, it's okay. It's okay. He could be there and sit behind Rodgers for a couple years. And he'll be fine.
That would take some serious patience because they gave up a lot to get him. Aaron Rodgers, we know he doesn't really play well at home back there in San Francisco. But you know what? We could go on and on about this all day. Kimberly, where would you like to see him?
I hear what my buddy Ninko is saying.
Yeah.
I totally hear him. San Francisco makes sense in Denver. But I'm going to agree with D. Wood. Like, I think he should honestly stay in Green Bay because I just came back from the Pro Bowl. Talking to all those guys in Vegas, the thing that they said the most was, man, the AFC is loaded with these young QBs. Like, these guys, like, talking to Stephon Diggs, like, talking to Derwin James, they're like, my dude, Justin Herbert, he's money. My guy, Josh Allen, like, this division is loaded. And if
Mahomes,
you're if
right.
Patrick, and I didn't even get to Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, hello.
I didn't even get to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, like, everybody but the Browns, I feel like everybody can talk about. Sorry.
Hey, that's another idea.
But
yeah,
honestly,
right?
The
Why
road,
not?
As Damian is saying, the road to
yeah.
He's
so
not going to try to go to Cleveland. But
what would Cleveland look like with?
Yeah, well, I mean, but they are instant,
you know,
Super Bowl. Like, they are. That's the thing with
Why
Cleveland.
Not?
That's the thing with Cleveland. They've got the ready-made roster. Like,
mm-hmm.
You throw Aaron in there, boom, pencil them into the Super Bowl.
Right.
But will he? You're talking about bigger market.
I'm bigger market. Think about
what does
market.
That matter? Why would you want to be in a bigger market if you've been in Green Bay and you have thrived
because
your whole
the,
career? Anything's a
at
bigger
the end of your career,
bigger
if you go
city
to
after
a
that.
Massive market.
Mm-hmm.
You can market
maximize,
your. You
yeah.
can maximize your earning potential off the
but
field.
But imagine Aaron Rodgers in those
already,
progressive commercials.
Yeah,
hey,
watch he's
those.
Already
don't,
got
hey,
the
don't
earning
want,
potential.
You don't want that income now. I mean, you can go make a lot.
He wants to go big city. He's been small town. He wants to go big city. That's what Ninko says. All right, we are going to move on to. Well, Joe Burrow and his ability to stay on his feet, which feels like a huge story heading into this. That's all anybody's talking about. Why the Bengals will have to get very, very, very mean in this one. And LeBron says the Lakers are just in a fog right now as we hit the trade deadline, approach the All-Star break. When should we expect that fog to lift? You get the fog in L.A., you know, got it?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by DraftKings. Hannah Storm in for Greeny, and in honor of the Super Bowl, we are replaying our analysts' Super Bowl moments this week, and Damian Woody on the Patriots, Super Bowl 36. Tom Brady led that crazy final drive about the Rams. What do you remember about this, Woody?
Well, I remember John Madden talking about before that drive that we should basically kneel down and play for overtime. And we were on the sideline like, okay, we got time, we got everybody, we got all we need in order to make it happen on this final drive. And we put it in Adam Vinatieri's hand, and next thing you know, we were champions.
Yeah, the first championship. Wasn't there something crazy that happened when he spiked the ball right before that kick?
Yes, it is. The ball came right back in Tom Brady's hand, so you knew it was our time.
Oh, look at that. That is crazy. Oh, wow, Nick, what do you?
Show off. Look at him. Come on, Tom. What are you? Young Tom, just like, we got this. We're about to win this one.
The first Super Bowl. Oh, look at
those. Those are like my hats that I wear on Sundays. I like it.
I love that you stole Kimberly's hat from all her time in Cleveland and Cincinnati for the segment that we call Firewood. So, Woody, take us through the three things you're fired up about for Sunday.
Yeah, listen, I'm fired up about this opportunity that the Bengals offensive line is going to have, you know, going up against Aaron Donald. Listen, I'm a lineman at heart, so I'm always riding for the O-line. But, boy, do they have their hands full with this week, because they thought Jeffrey Simmons and company with the Tennessee Titans were something. Wait till they get a hold of Aaron Donald and company. This is going to be a big one. Next one, we're going to go with Jalen Ramsey and Ja'Marr Chase. Listen, you're talking about the best cornerback in the National Football League and Jalen Ramsey going up against the rookie phenom in Ja'Marr Chase. Usually with bigger wide receivers, that plays right into Jalen Ramsey's hands. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing about Joe Burrow is he's going to force feed the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. So we're going to see who the real dog is in that matchup between Jalen Ramsey and Ja'Marr Chase. And then finally, we talk about Joe Cool, man. Like, this dude is a rare breed. You're talking about a guy who's just been under siege, where he had been sacked nine times against the Tennessee Titans, come out on top, goes into Arrowhead Stadium, where everybody thought, oh, man, the Bengals don't have a shot, and Joe Cool just gets out there and makes things happen and bring that team back from 18 points down. So I just love watching Joe Cool play, because this dude just – it seems like when chaos is going on around him, this dude is calm. Blood pressure is calm. I love watching that.
But, Woody, you mentioned those nine sacks by the Titans, and you basically said this O-line of the Bengals ain't seen nothing yet. How many sacks do you predict for Sunday?
Listen, it could be up there, Hannah. I would say probably like six. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter when Joe Burrow got sacked nine times. It didn't matter, because the dude is just – he's calm on a whole different level.
Right. It's definitely not his kryptonite, that pressure. At least it hasn't been so far. All right. Thanks, Woody. The quarterback on the other side, of course, is Matthew Stafford. And yesterday he was asked about what he does when the defense makes adjustments in the second half, like the Bengals did against the Chiefs.
It's a challenge. They do a great job of mixing up looks. A really smart defensive coordinator and – smart defensive players to go out there and execute that plan. So it's a big challenge for us. But, you know, we face the defense every single day in practice that's pretty special itself. So, you know, feel good about, you know, where we are as a team when it comes to that. They do a great job of, you know, kind of feeling the game out, figuring out what the offense is trying to do. And then they try to make adjustments. And a lot of times have been, you know, really good. They're really an opportunistic group. They've turned the ball over a bunch of times.
All right, so back at the table, the Rams have taken this all-in approach, as we know, just taking all those chips and putting them into the middle of the table.
Yep.
But let's talk specifically on the pressure on Stafford, and not just the pressure, but will this be considered a failure for him if they don't win on Sunday?
Hannah, the only answer to this question is yes. Failure. Mm-hmm. Like a huge failure if they don't win the Super Bowl. Because this Rams season was constructed under one premise, that Jared Goff wasn't good enough. That we're a team that's a good quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl. Guess what? Matthew Stafford has taken the team to the same spot that Jared Goff helped get this team to, right? But he has to win it, because if they lose, then this whole season, I don't want to say it was a waste, but for the resources that they invested into it. You know, I've talked to Les Snead about how he's aggressive. He's going to go for whatever. And this season is all about trying to get a super team to win a Super Bowl. And if they don't do it, then what was the point of trading Jared Goff to get Stafford? Same result.
Right, and giving away those draft picks. Nico?
Yeah, no, 100%. And you think about the Rams, they were just at a Super Bowl not too long ago. I mean,
against who?
Against the Patriots.
and they put how many points on the board?
Not a lot.
Three points.
Very low scoring game. Right. And you had McVay. And in that match, it almost felt like that game was a little bit over the head of the head coach and Goff and the team. So what did they do? They went out and they went and got the piece that they figured would help them get back to a Super Bowl number one, but also win a Super Bowl. So if they do not win the Super Bowl, I can tell you firsthand, going to a Super Bowl and losing is a very painful feeling. You feel like your world has crumbled down upon you because all the work, the offseason, OTAs, yep, mini camp, training camp, you get through a season healthy, you get through the playoffs, you get to the game and you lose. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible feeling. So they have had that feeling. They went out and they got Stafford to have that feeling of euphoria, yep, and not complete
disaster. By the way, one of the great things about your Patriots and Tom Brady is the way that he did bounce back from losing Super Bowls. You know, people forget about the Super Bowl heartache.
There was a 10-year hiatus
That's
no
right.
Super Bowls.
There was a 10-year gap. Yep. So Woody, also, of course, a two-time Super Bowl winner with the Pats. Is this a failure for Stafford if they don't win on Sunday?
Absolutely. Jared Goff got him to the Super Bowl. So if you're gonna jettison and ship off the guy that got you there, you would think that the next step is you got to win. You got to win the Super Bowl. You know, you trade away the quarterback, draft picks, you do all, you know, go after Odell Beckham, you trade for Von Miller. You do all mm-hmm. these things for one reason and one reason only, to win the Super Bowl. Because that would validate all the, you know, basically mortgage in the future that your first round picks that you acquired in order to win the chip. If you don't win the Super Bowl, nothing matters. It's all a failure. One big F if they don't win the Super Bowl.
Yep. It's kind of like Jerry Jones said, right? Super Bowl or bust. And that was a bust. That was a big bust. All right. Woody. Football folks, we appreciate it. We got to get to the NBA really quick because it's also a huge day in the NBA. Back to the NBA. Trade deadline fast approaching. And, of course, a team that we're keeping an eye on is the Lakers, among others. Last night, Russell Westbrook sat out LA's 107-105 loss to the Blazers because of tightness in his lower back. And earlier this morning, I asked Adrian Wojnarowski about the Lakers potentially trading Westbrook. Here's what he had to say.
It's going to be very difficult to trade Russell Westbrook, and Rob Pelinka, their general manager in LA, knows that. And with $47 million due him next season, there's just not a marketplace to do that. And at what point do you stop just completely mortgaging your future for deals that probably don't result in all of a sudden you having a championship contender? And right now, the deals that the Lakers are really looking at, Hannah, you know, they're around the fringes. Players like Alex Burks in New York, Dennis Schroeder in Boston, any number of role players, fringe starters that they might be able to cobble together the assets to get. But the idea of a Westbrook trade, listen, nothing's impossible, but I think it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, such huge numbers, $44 million this season, $47 next season. Now, it's my first time on Get Up. It is also the first time for Monica McNutt. So it's great. We're here together. Love being with you. And I can't wait to hear your answer to this question, because you just heard Woj say, listen, they're not going to move Russell Westbrook. Certainly in all likelihood, it would be a huge surprise. What do they do with him from here on out then, Monica? What's the plan?
Man, Hannah, I was getting ready for the show this morning and I really wanted to say they have to play in transition, but they're already a team that does a pretty good job in that category. I do think that they're going to have to, step one, remind Russ that he can contribute just from a confidence standpoint. When we talk about his last two performances, only hitting three of double-digit amount of field goal attempts and just his general body language inside of 10 feet. No breaking news here. Russ has been able to score the basketball, but the last two outings, he looked completely defeated. I have a hard time believing that Russ cannot contribute at all. He may need to revamp his approach and consider himself a garbage guy and take a lot of pride in it. He still can defend. He's a terrific rebounder. He can get deflections. He can get steals. Now, ultimately, if he cannot be on the floor in the fourth quarter, that's called basketball and coaches being empowered to make the right decisions. But I don't think that Russ has to hang his head and think he can never contribute with this squad. Now, they're going to have to encourage him.
Let me ask you this. Should he come off the bench?
I'm open to him coming off the bench. I think if
Do you think
again,
he would
he
be
owns,
open to it?
at this point in his career, I think he needs to find a way. And I think ultimately, if this is about the opportunity to win as a veteran in this league, he knows that that costs a lot. And if that's what it means, he needs to be willing to do that. Now, he could come off the bench and change the tempo with that energy, right? Mm-hmm. It may mean that he comes off the bench and doesn't necessarily play as many minutes alongside LeBron, which would allow him to come to the ball in terms of being able to create in transition, because he needs the basketball in his hands to be the best version of Rush that we've seen over the years. So I am open to him coming off the bench.
Yeah, it is kind of, it's just so hard for him to find room to maneuver with those other superstars. And I always think about the Warriors. Listen, it's not the same comparison, but remember when Steve Kerr went to Andre Iguodala and he said, come off the bench, and he did, and they won a championship and he was MVP. So listen, if the championship's the ultimate goal, who knows? All right, and who knows, speaking of this Simmons and Harden trade, we don't know if this is going to happen. Woj is keeping us updated all morning long. Is this something you would like to see happen? Is this, in your mind, the best thing for both of those teams?
Hannah, I have to be honest that I root for a little bit of chaos. So, yes, because I think the NBA would explode if this actually happens. But I do think that it's a good fit for both teams as well. In the last few days, the focus has been on Brooklyn because of James Harden's history in terms of forcing what he wants. However, let's not forget that the Philadelphia 76ers are getting an MVP caliber year from a healthy Joel Embiid, and that is not something that should be taken advantage of. And so while this seems like a bunch of noise in terms of what James Harden may or may not be forcing, he would make the Philadelphia 76ers better. And if you believe that Ben Simmons has been working out somewhere and is ready to play basketball and simply just wants a change of scene, I don't see how he makes the Brooklyn Nets any worse. Now, the power is in the hands of the Brooklyn Nets, because while they have been on a magnified losing streak, through the first seven games, James Harden had only played four, and I believe it's still at four. Kevin Durant obviously is not present, and you know the situation surrounding Kyrie Irving. And so Brooklyn, to me, holds all the cards in terms of if they can just get a healthy Kevin Durant back, there will certainly be a moment down the road where we'll all will say, remember they lost like nine games in a row?
Right, right. Actually, no team that's lost nine games in a row has ever been to the conference final.
Hannah, yes, I gotta say, I keep hearing all of my colleagues make that stat, but no team that has had a part-time player, to my knowledge, has ever been to the conference finals either. So here we are.
There you go. There you go. And we'll also see, with all of the COVID mandates starting to change in the state of New York, we'll see when the city follows suit, and maybe we will have, before all is said and done, a full-time Kyrie Irving. Wouldn't that be interesting then to see what the three of them would do? Monica, great debut. Come on back.
Thanks, Hannah.
Monica on Get Up. All right, coming up, Jimmy Johnson had a lot to say about Jerry Jones and his decision making. It wasn't exactly flattering. You'll hear it. And our analysts, of course, will react, because we love talking about them Cowboys. Did you hear, speaking of, what Micah Parsons said about Joe Burrow? That's coming up on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
You are watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings. Hannah Storm in for Greeny on this Thursday morning. And after an early playoff exit and a wave of new coaching hirings, the Dallas Cowboys decide to retain head coach Mike McCarthy and his coordinators, Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. Cowboys coaching legend Jimmy Johnson weighing in on Jerry Jones and his decision-making.
Well, Jerry, he doesn't ever want to admit that he's wrong. You know, and so he's going to hang with whoever, Jason Garrett or whoever, and try to make it work. And, you know, I think he really values the talent on that team such that he feels like McCarthy can be successful. and he can improve, especially with Dan Quinn and with Kellen Moore, with the assistance that he's got.
All right, so here we go. Both assistants who have head coaching aspirations are back. Sean Payton is waiting in the wings. And Mike McCarthy is on some kind of leash. We just don't know how long it is. Woody, how long do you think McCarthy is given? And under what circumstances could that situation change?
Well, I think it's a short leash considering the fact that, you know, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and actually the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys are positioned really well. Again, I spoke about it earlier. You got Tom Brady retiring. You got the Los Angeles Rams to contend with. San Francisco is going to ship off Jimmy G. You know, they're going to have a young quarterback in the mix. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you have continuity in your coaching staff. Most of your roster is going to be intact, which is one of the best rosters in the National Football League. If Mike McCarthy, you have a short window. If Mike McCarthy can't get it done in 2022, then I would expect some type of change to happen because they're just wasting this talented roster right now.
Wait, so you're giving him the whole season, right? Rob, how long are you giving him?
No, I'm not giving him the whole season.
I don't know if Damien's giving him the whole season.
He said 2022.
So, listen, I'd say 2 months of the season. If they start out in the first month of the season and they look very poor or they have some clock management issue or they're full of undisciplined players.
Again,
I could see maybe, you know, you got an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator that want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and the owner has said that. So you're saying it's the way they would lose. If they were, you know, if they are below 500 at week 7 or 8, I could see them making a move and just going with the DC or the OC to just be the intern and fill in. And then after that year of 2022 season, they will figure it out. They'll interview those two guys, and then they'll have Sean Payton come in. And that's, you know, kind of where Jerry Jones probably wants to go is Sean Payton.
So you're saying about half a season. What do you think, Kimberly?
Yeah.
Well, Hannah, since you're new here, you don't know this about me, but I was a psych major. So everything to me, I think from a psychological standpoint, I think about relationships.
Okay, break it
down
for us.
The NFL is like, it's all about relationships, right? Okay, so if you have a friend and you're like, oh, this is your wife, like how long are you guys going to be in this for the long haul? And the dude's like, yeah, this is my lady right now. You're gonna be like, what? Is, like, long haul or no? And you're just like, oh, well, for right now, that's, yeah, she's like my lady. You're gonna be like, okay, so this situation, they're not gonna be together for a long time. That's what the Dallas Cowboys are. Mike McCarthy literally is in this job until Jerry Jones is sort of like, you know what, I've seen enough. Yeah, and to Rob's point, it might seem unfair, you know, 8 weeks, but we've seen a disappointing season, two disappointing seasons under Mike McCarthy. A roster that should have gone much farther. Talking to Micah Parsons at the Pro Bowl, and he's talking about the thing that sticks out to me about this whole season is that we got bounced in the first round. Like, that can't happen.
Right.
So if you've got all these, you've got Sean Payton, if you've got all these coordinators on your staff who want to be the head coach, it's only a matter of time, and I don't know how Mike McCarthy really, this is a situation that he can be successful when you're constantly looking over your shoulder.
Because with your analogy that you so aptly described, you've got a very single Sean Payton sitting over here.
He's like, mingle,
single and available.
Yes,
right?
Call me. Yes, that's what Sean Payton is.
All right. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Micah Parsons snubbed Joe Burrow from his top 5 quarterbacks list. And he offered this unique criticism. Take a listen.
Joe's, like, extremely good. But, like, some games, Joe would, like, have a day. But in some games, like, he's not there. Against the Bears, he threw like, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's easy to get in his head because I haven't played him and I'm playing him next year. So I don't want this to get to him. And he come out here down to AT Stadium and throw for 400 and be like, he said that in the interview. So I don't want to see nothing crazy.
Okay, well, that's too late because he already said it.
Let me tell you right now, Joe Burrow,
He goes back to week 2, Joe Burrow, who threw 3 consecutive picks.
You know,
not Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl coming off missing the last 6 games of last season.
Micah Parsons is literally sitting there because he's not in the playoffs. He's not in the Super Bowl.
Go.
That's why he's got the time to talk. I feel like anybody in the Cowboys right now, I was very high in the Cowboys this year, so this is not hate. Anybody in the Cowboys, don't say anything this offseason. The way you guys played, the way you you guys flamed out. Can't say anything, especially about a quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, bulletin board material, right?
Well, listen, I don't think Joe Burrow is going to get himself
all worked
gonna
up
mess
over
his
this.
Day up about yeah. this. He might just, okay, a little
yeah, no,
circle on that one.
That.
We play them next mm-hmm. year. Okay, I'll right. be ready to go. And if they do win the Super Bowl, yeah. Super Bowl champs.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like, they'll be Super Bowl champs. That would be the ultimate statement
yes.
if he is able to get that done and win the Super Bowl. So we'll see.
Woody,
we'll see.
Rookie. Oh, we'll see. Sound like Aaron Rodgers. We'll mm-hmm. see.
We'll see.
Woody, rookie mistake there, making that comment about Burrow.
Yeah, just loose lips by the rookie, man. It's, you know, listen. Joe Burrow's out in L.A. for a reason. He's out here preparing for the Super Bowl, not doing some podcasts, you know, with different people out there. So you got to be careful what you say, what you put out in this universe, man. You got to be real careful.
I would also say sometimes when you're in a loose setting in a mm-hmm. podcast, you might just say some things and you look back and you're like, I probably shouldn't have done that, right? Maybe he was just feeling comfortable in that situation. He was just being honest.
Yeah, but he was being honest. He's nothing if not honest.
If somebody was to look back at Joe Burrow week two, I don't think we'd say, oh, he's going to be in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were like 150-1
odds
to make the Super Bowl at that point. Coming up, we have brand new information from Woj with the deadline coming up, and this concerns James Harden and the Sixers.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.